for the TIV in the Soviet Union. It's a very nice article. It's probably a translation of the from the Hebrew. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I can't remember her name. Look.
The Soloveitchik, I think.
What was her name? She did Naomi Shemer songs in Russia. She risked the law. She would give a concert and then switch to Hebrew and sometimes Yiddish, which was in those days, the 1950s.
Wow. Hello, am I on?
That's on.
Hello? One second. One second. That last one has a problem. Okay, let's roll, because I want to maximize time. Your questions will be answered, just let me roll. And Yitzchak, if I may reach it, I have a big, big surprise for you. Maybe one of the biggest surprises that anyone has done for you in recent years. But let's begin at the beginning. Today is Monday, January 20th, 2020, in the midst of some stormy weather and in the midst of seeing the center of the city closed down today. They already closed Terminal 1. When are you going home? Next week, so you'll be okay. No, they'll fly out, but it's from a different terminal. I want to say hello to all the students in front of me and who braved the weather to get here. And hello to all the students listening across the wide expanse of Jewish existence in the year 2020. I want to deal with some issues that have been raised before I run into the shiur per se. First of all, a teaching at Satmar, and as she listens to my shirm, and she said, Rebbe, you mentioned that the Satmar ladies are learning more today than their babas. So she said she's been teaching in the high school of Satmar in Williamsburg for the last 15 years. And she said, in secular education, absolutely, it's rich and broad, though English is definitely their second language. However, as far as Limudei Kodesh, the Satmar Rebbe forbade them to learn Chumash from a Chumash, since he felt that you teach Chumash, you teach some of the Mefarshim, it's Torah Shabbat Peh, and this is forbidden. Therefore, Chumash is taught to the girls by their Yiddish teachers as stories. So they do not learn the Limudei Kodesh at a very high level at all, and I'm not sure that in that particular department they know more than their babas. And you're listening to your lectures. I don't want to mention her name. Maybe a Satmar's listening, and we'll arrest her for corresponding with a YU person. I want to mention that something I said in Shir over the years. So again, what we said yesterday, here we're dealing with the Rav Shitzer and the Tzenzeva, the Sanzeva. We can't even be sure what they did. And we made an analogy to the Rav, Tzvi Schachter and Sam Dershowitz. So I want to make one slight correction. Sam told me this morning, it's not that the Rav Heschel wrote to him, publishing of it, your own book. It's what happened was, after he had spoken with Rav Heschel and said, I remember this. And then Rav Heschel gave the shir, a tshuva drasha in Gruss. And he went over to him after the drasha, and he said, what you said in the drasha, I saw the opposite. And so then Rav Heschel said, well, if you know so much about the Rav, write your own book. All right, it's essentially what I said yesterday, but nevertheless, so you remember I mentioned to you that the Rav said a number of times, I have it in my work on the Rav, that many have tried to bridge the gap between the Moreh Nevuchim and the Mishneh Torah, but no one has succeeded. So in Rishimat Sheyurim on Sukkah, put out by Rabbi Reichman, on page Reish Nun Chet, he quotes something similar. He finds a contradiction. I don't want to go into the sugya. The sugya I've spoken about many times, Sukkot. What is the real concept of the holiday of Sukkot? And the Moreh Nevuchim tells us it's Chag Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah Torah seems to be, it's much broader in the Mishnah Torah. So you have this contradiction, and he says, he again says, many have tried, but we can let the contradiction stand. And that's what the Kikach Kibel Rabbeinu Shlita, referring to the Rav, Mipizik Noam, Orenev Rabbeinu, Agon of Chayim, that at times they contradict them, the contradiction has to stand. And then he says that Reb Chaim was a great bucky in the Moreh Nevuchim, and even thought of writing a perish on it. So I have to tell you, I heard the opposite. I was always raised that the Rav was unbelievable. He knew the Mishnah Torah by heart, like his father and grandfather, but he also knew the Moreh Nevuchim by heart. So I asked Rabbi Reichman's son to ask his father what the source is. So far I haven't gotten an answer, but again, it's I question it. Dov, what was your Kabbalah? What did you hear when you were in Yeshiva about the Chaim and the Myrna? No, all right. Also, Yitz asked me about perfume for Havdalah. So something was in my mind that I once saw that it's a question with a bracha. Anyway, this is for you. Look at the Chelik Bet of Shmirat Shabbat Gehilchata, Perek Samech Aleph, Sifkat Yud Bet, and May Besamim is probably perfume. That's what I imagine it is. So there's a long footnote whether you can make a bracha on it if it's real. If it's all artificial, then you can't make a bracha. But if it has any Karen, you would have to know how it's manufactured. You'll see it's a whole footnote. Some say yes, some say it's better. Suffolk Prophet Lahakel. To use it, if you have nothing else, you can use it. Because the whole concept is to give you a sweet smell. It's not a dindi or right or a dindi rabbanon. It's a more minig Yisrael. But it's to give you a sweet smell. But it's interesting. Pass this back to Yitz. Okay. Regarding the question of women saying Kaddish at a minyan and answering, and even if there's no one else saying Kaddish, so I have to tell you I received a beautiful email here from someone I yet knew his father, Ira Sturm, S-T-U-R-M. If you recognize the name, his father was the executive director of Young Israel in the 50s, the 60s, wonderful individual. So he writes that at the Young Israel of Woodmere, he said there was just the other day, two women were the only ones saying Kaddish, and everyone responded, Amen and Yeheshmei Rabbah. And I heard Eidin Manad that even in front of Reb Moshe Feinstein, women said Kaddish and everyone responded. So we're on firm ground there. The Rav, Reb Aaron Soloveitchik, MTJ, Baruch Hashem. And as I told someone yesterday, and I repeat it again, we have tremendous problems with the feminist movement. It has been the biggest challenge to Torah for the last 120 years. It undermined Torah. There's mass assimilation in America, mass intermarriage. Millions of Jews have disappeared because the women took down the mechitza, pressured the rabbis to take the mechitza. You all know, you study, you see. Read the Revel, read Silver. I hope there are other volumes written, but all you have to do is go to any archive and you see what happened. And lo aleinu, what that led to. So my attitude is what we can accommodate, we should accommodate. We don't have to make them second-class citizens. Where it comes to Devar Hashem, Zuhalacha, we have to make clear this is Halacha. We can't go, as we've been talking all along, with the Western world. We have to go with the Torah world. Last week I spoke about the presidency of YU and the difficulty of the financial situation, and I noticed I skipped Richard Joel. I didn't do that purposely. I was only dealing with the rabbis who have been president. But Richard Joel, who, by the way, you should know, of all the presidents of YU, no one equaled him in Chazonus. If you ever heard Richard Joel Davin, he was by far beyond Revel and Belkin and Lamb and Berman. What a chazan. So he had to, but they dafka elected him. This I know, you can quote me, because the person who really fought for his election, these years, he explained to me, he's a shliklich, he's an older man today, but a fabulous individual, Brafman, Ludwig Brafman, Lou Brafman, they called him. So he told me, the reason they went for Joel, they thought he could solve the financial problems. Of course, in Hillel, he raised tremendous funds. And their idea was, we don't need a spiritual leader to be president. We need a good fundraiser. And Richard Joel was ideal, a frum guy, wonderful children, a fabulous wife. And it hurts me because I'm very fond of Richard Joel. It hurts me he had a lot of bad muscle. In other words, I asked him, Richard, how did the Madoff, how did you let him? He said to me, Reb Aaron, if you would have heard Madoff speak, you would have thought he was a Talmud of Reb Yisrael Salanta. He'd give lessons on ethics and morals and business. And you know, Nebuch, you get taken in, and Merkin was taken in by him, Ezra Merkin, who Richard Joel depended upon. So I think what Yeshiva went back to, and it evidently is what YU needs, is ultimately you need a president who's a spiritual leader. Fundraising, appoint people under him, a vice president in charge of fundraising, endowment they call it, development, give it a fancy title, but try, halavai, they should allow, you know, Ari Berman is a Talmud Chacham, and he's got a PhD from Hebrew U, that's a very bona fide PhD. Halavai, allow him to be a spiritual figure. But all right, money is money, and that problem continues. Now, we spoke last week about going into the big world and going into the big world and having universities and what type of universities, and do we want what the Rev called a Catholic university, or do we want an open university? And I presented both points of view. The Rav evidently felt, and I know Rabbi Revel to a certain degree felt this way. I believe Dr. Belkin probably felt this way. We're preparing people for the big world. The big world, they're going to be challenged. So by the time they reach college, if they can't handle the challenge, they're not going to handle the big world. The other side of the coin is, of course, the Torah and Derech Eretz of Shem Shavuol Hirsch, but the Derech Eretz has to be on Pi Torah. We don't have to have a student at the age of 18, 19 sit in the class where every second word is a curse word. All right. So Jack asked, which system succeeds more? And here there is absolutely no black and white answer. Number one, you would have to do a sociological study. And right away, their fact is that are beyond your control. Namely, how big is Lander College? Lander College has 350 students. When you have 350 students, obviously there's more control, it's a better environment. YU, I don't know how many students YU have today, a few thousand in the college itself, I don't know. But once you get big numbers, it's much harder. So there's something to be said, the yeshiva, I was in Lakewood this summer. Lakewood is nowhere resembles the Lakewood of Reb Aaron Cutler. There's no resemblance. Reb Aaron Cutler, when I was like 100 students, it began with this. The whole machlokes began with 13, 15. I saw the original list of students. I think it was 13. But there could have been 15, among them Vic Snow's relatives. And to Lakewood, it centered entirely around Reb Aaron Sheyurim. That was Lakewood. You went there. The high point of the week with the two shirm Reb Aaron gave. Today, Lakewood is, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 students, 9 different Batei Medrash. I may even have my figures wrong. Each Rosh Yeshiva gives a shir. What is it? Once a month, they take turns for Rosh Yeshiva. Students don't even go to the public shirm. It's a place to sit and learn. And the whole student body is different. You're meaning that my time, anyone who went to Lakewood, round up in the Ravnit or Rosh Yeshiva and Chinuch, there was nothing else you could do. Today, guys learn in Lakewood 3-4 years. They go on to medical school. They go on to law school. Some remain in Lakewood. They remain Rabbanim, Rosh Yeshiva, each one in accordance with his politikis, with his interest, with his abilities. So, you see, it's very hard to compare. But the answer is it's up to the student. And I can tell you something here. I have students that I shaped their lives many years ago. Their own children These people all want you, became rabbanim, became professors, became whatever they did in life, lawyers, world famous people. And their own children, some of the kids, start YU and run away. Where do they run to? Land the college. Or they run to Shai Yashuv and go to Touro. Why? They want that smaller atmosphere, a better atmosphere. They want to be in a place with 2,000 people. They want to be in a yeshiva where everyone knows each other. And there's a lot to be said. I can't give a black and white answer, and only a fool will attempt to give a black and white answer, because it has to do with the individual, how you feel, and who you are. That's all. Now, I want to say something else as well about the Siyum HaShas. So I told you, a lot of people are criticizing, and I did my own research. The Rav was opposed to it. The sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe was opposed. I can assure you, Rav Yeruchim Gerelich, Rav Noach Bornstein would laugh. Asim Shas, Mintop, Mintop, Mintop. All right, to be negative, it's very easy. On the other hand, look at the results. This particular Siyum Shas got coverage all over the world. London, Moscow, wherever you went, Israel, America, Siyum Shas. I got a beautiful letter from David Neumann. He's Vic Snow's, he's married to Vic Snow's, his daughter is married to Vic Snow's nephew, or vice versa. And he tells the following story. He's an electrician. He's a second generation. His father, he's a kid. His father was a Hasidic Jew who survived. And when the Kalever Rebbe came to Cleveland after World War II, the Kalever Rebbe spoke perfect English, by the way. So he organized the Talmud Torah, Cheder. David Neumann went to the Kalever Rebbe's Cheder. And he's an elechir, he's not a youngster today. He's an electrician, has a big business. So his son, they were doing a job, and his son took over for him, Shmuley. And this family is a fifth generation German Reform family. Fifth generation. And while the kid is working there, the decisions had to be made. And, you know, when you have an electrician, where to put this, where to do that, how much voltage. And the guy says to his wife, "Honey, you make all the decisions. I have to go study." You know what he's studying? He started Daf Yomi with Shat and Spin. It's a fifth-generation Reform Jew. Now, I would like to believe that he can't remain a Reform Jew when he starts Shas. I'm not certain I'm right. Yitzchak, you read the new tradition, the latest tradition? You were happy with it, or you suffered with some of the articles? Let me tell you, I suffered with that lady I spoke about many times, Ilana. I read her book, fabulous. How can a lady go through Shas and remain the same conservative Jewish lady, leaning, davening from Amid, it breaks my heart. And that, what I want to tell you, Yonatan, is I'm going to go back and tell Reb Yochum Gerelich and tell Reb Noach Bornstein, my dear Rebbeim, you were partially wrong. You need a little Hasidus in this world. You got to warm up the hearts. Okay. Now, furthermore, Yitzchak, right now, give me a break. I have to answer. I'm not wasting time. I'm running, but we got to answer. My memory was correct. I want to thank Rabbi Jacob Sasson, my virtual Talmud. He went to the archives, and Rabbi Rachman's title was, this is a letter that Rabbi Rachman received on the 26th of January, 1967, addressed to Rabbi Emanuel Rachman. This letter is from Israel, from the Herzog family. It's from Isaac Herzog, personal. Assistant to the president. So that I was right when I said the Wikipedia article that calls him provost, that's incorrect. Provost was later the title they gave to Rabbi Belkin or Chancellor. Later at Bar-Ilan University, the title provost plays a role.
What does that mean, provost?
I don't know. It's a fancy title, kicking someone upstairs. You remember what Shmuel Leib Zahar said to me? I'll never forget it. He quote, can you quote it? Word by word. He said to me, I'm afraid, Arnold, that the more titles they give me and the more cover they give me, the less power and influence I have. You understand? Under Rabbi Revel, he was called assistant to the president. He ran the show. Under Rabbi Belkin, he was dean of students. He had all the titles, and he had no power whatsoever. Dov, who's not that much younger than I am, not just, but Rabbi Zinzar was not around in your time. Yeah. He died in 62. He died in the Beis Medrash, you should know, at the little Chag HaSmicha. He keeled over, had a heart attack, and died in the Beis Medrash, 1962. He was a wonderful man. So you don't even know his name. You follow? Today, if you were in the yeshiva in 1920s, 1930s, you wouldn't blow your nose without permission from Zinzar. All right, we're ready to roll, and this is very serious. Jack asked me, Rebbe, why are you so hesitant? Why are you, what are you saying? Jack, for me to speak about that the Rav whetted their appetites, you should smack my face. That's the way you talk about your Rebbe, he whetted their appetites? Let me show you how he whetted their appetites, how right I am. Yitzchak, Community, Covenant, and Commitment. You have the volume?
Yes.
Okay. Edited by Nathaniel Helfgott, our student from this very Kollel, big man in Chovevei Torah. Go to page 215. Go to page 215. It's a letter to Yitzchak Goldschlag. All right, who is Yitzchak Goldschlag? I knew him at one time. There was a big Mizrahi party here. Time moves on. If you heard the news now, the news yesterday, the news last week, Mizrahi doesn't exist anymore. Whatever exists is grandchildren of the original idea. So the Rav was very close to Goldschlag. Whatever the reasons were, he unburdened himself to him. So he writes him a letter. This is 1964. And he's telling him, let me put it into simple English, that you people in Mizrahi in Israel at times are idiots. You go on and you bring bad publicity for Torah. And there are three issues that he discusses. I only want to discuss one. What is the issue? Evidently, and this went on until modern times, the Sfadim have a much easier time permitting a man to remarry. When they forged, when they established and set out the rules and guidance for the chief rabbi in Israel, they set out, we no longer need 100 rabbis from 3 different locations. But if my memory is correct, this can all be checked out. This is all available online. I could ask my daughter. But if I remember correct, the 2 chief rabbis have to give the hetta for the man to remarry. They revised. Chayrim Rabbeinu Geshem. So it turned out in the 1960s, and a lot of Hetayrim were given. Nowadays, it's almost impossible to get a Heta to remarry unless a get is given, the woman accepts, the man gives. The Sfadim have, let's say, matured in the sense that they're now part of the Western world. I use the word matured in quotations. The Rav was hysterical because they gave a heta to remarry. The press in Israel picked it up, and every last newspaper, Haaretz and Yediyot and Maariv, those were the 3 important newspapers then, they had headlines, the rabbinate hates women, the rabbinate is anti-women, the Torah is anti-women, a man can remarry, leaves his wife, she's sick, her mind is, she needs help, she's psychologically sick, she's institutionalized, and he dances down the aisle with another woman. And if a man is institutionalized, mental illness, the wife remains an agunah. All right, isn't that the halacha? Isn't that the halacha? So the Rav writes, and this is translated from the Hebrew, it's a very fine translation, permitting a husband to remarry because his first marriage was a civil one. In other words, they had a case where there was nesu'in ezrachiyim, while at the same time forbidden the wife to remarry, bespeaks a lack of a sense of communal responsibility. One does not need to be a member of the chief rabbinate to understand the rationale that one can be lenient regarding the chevim the Rabbeinu Geshem when the original marriage was a civil one, while one cannot, however, be lenient when it comes to the prohibition of adultery for the wife. In other words, al pi halacha, for the man, he can have more than one wife, salazayin gezun, so he has a second wife, he has a third wife, what's wrong? But a woman, if civil marriage creates a marriage, then if she marries and doesn't have a get, she's a neshetish, mamzeret. However, did the rabbinate consider what the general community in Eretz Yisrael and in the United States would say about such a ruling? The rabbinate is discriminating against the wife, while at the same time is considerate of the needs of the husband. We live in a generation of heresy, great arrogance, and a secular approach to Judaism and its sacred institutions. Such an action by the highest halakhic body in Eretz Yisrael was publicized in all corners of America by the Anglo-Jewish press with sensational headlines, and there is no end to the derision towards orthodoxy and the desecration of God's name that it has caused. Jack, these words were written by the Rav. 1964.
And
page 216. I have to thank my Talmud Nachum Shmayahu Hatamim. I know I read this book inside out many times, but he said, Rebbe, what you're saying in watch. I will. This is the Rav writing. This is the Rav. This is the Rav Sprach. I will reveal a secret to you. No, Yitzchak, how many times? Ich war magala zayin asayid. How many times did we hear that from the Rav? I will reveal a secret to you, my friend. In my entire life, I have never signed a Cheder Meir Rabbanim, even in cases where the halakhic foundation for it is sound. An American Jew will understand that the halakha demands in instances where there is no halakhic divorce that it is impossible to marry or to be married. One fate is shared by the husband and wife. However, he can under no circumstances understand that the wife must remain chained, single, when the husband in a similar situation can marry another woman in addition to his wife and live happily with her. Such a ruling in our day is in the category of halacha v'ein morin kein. This is the Rav speaking. Huh? There's Chayrim the Rabbeinu Geshem. There's a takana of Rabbeinu Geshem. Ellie, you can't dismiss it. But the Rav, halacha v'ein morin kein. I can go on and on. Let me go one step further. Jack, page 271. 1939. Dr. Leo Young, Rabbi Dr. Leo Young, our dear Leo Young. We've spoken about him in great depth. Rabbi Hertz knew him personally. You davened in the shul, you knew the atmosphere. No, Rabbi Young is now publishing volumes, and he's planning another volume, part of the Jewish Library series. He turns to the Rav, Yitzchak, you're sitting, and he asks the Rav to write an article, 8,000 words, on the Musa movement, the relevancy of the Musa movement in 1939. I have to be honest with you. If he had turned to me, back at 39, I was in short pants. I was out of diapers, maybe. I don't know. I was born in December 37, so really I was born 38, 39, all right? But if he would turn to me in, 59, 69, I'd be the happiest guy. I'd be happy, 8,000 words. Muslim movement, Baruch Hashem. I know something about the Muslim movement. I know a little bit at least. Maybe a little bit more than a little bit. But you know what the Rav answers? I'm quoting the Rav now. I regret to say that I don't find the topic you suggested to my interest. It is very doubtful whether the Muslim movement can at present be subjected to an exact philosophical analysis. I would rather choose as my subject the following problem. Quote. Let me get strength now, because the topic is long. The Neo-Kantian conception of subjectivity and objectification of the act and its application to the analysis of the Ta'amei HaMitzvot problem. Professor Rothkopf, PhD, Hebrew U, Physics, and Kleinigkeit, I challenge you to explain to me what I just read as the Rav's proposal for the topic he wanted to write about. Yitzchak, you are the biggest philosopher, ranking philosopher in the class. I always surrender to you. It's your field of expertise. Could you please explain to me the Neo-Kantian conception of subjectivity? This interpretation of the central thought of the Neo-Kantian philosophy will prove to be of great value for the elucidation of the basic problems of modern Jewish philosophy. A few dissertations were written on Hermann Cohn's philosophy of religion based upon his book, Der Religion der Weltnuf, aus der Quellen des Judentums. But as yet, no attempt has been made to evaluate Cohn's theoretical philosophy as a source of modern Jewish thought. My intention is to explain the later flatter field for the purpose of enriching our philosophico-religious aspect. I cannot accept any limitation for my essay as to the amount of words. This is not a magazine article, which can be shortened or expanded according to wish. I will write as much as the full covering of the topic will require. It may be less, and it may be more than 8,000 words. And this is what the Rav writes to Leo Young. Hold on one second. Nothing came out of it. I'll come back to that in one second, because I have something to say. But Jack, do you understand what's happening here? Read Yitz Greenberg. In a minute, I'm going to quote Rabbi Rachman to you. Read the Johnny Come Lately Lopez Cardoza. Duvi Hartman. They walked into the big world and they crossed the boundary. And they're all mad at the Rav. May I paraphrase Yitz Greenberg? He opened the door for us, but he didn't cross it. Do you see what we have here? Jack, do you understand why my words, the Rav whetted their appetite, are the finest understanding expression in simple pedestrian language of what is happening before our eyes? And this is the challenge we live with until today. Where do we draw the line? A few minutes ago, we spoke about women saying Kaddish. Notice there's unanimity here. Mamish unanimity, at least in our world. At least in the world of Rav Moshe Feinstein. At least in the world, I'm sure, of Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Baron Soloveitchik. There we could accommodate. But there are other areas where a double ring ceremony, there's no way we can accommodate it. It cost me $50 back in the early 60s. people from my shul, the grandfather, his grandson, and they were shtickel shomer Shabbos. They were right-wing conservative Jews. And I'm performing the wedding, and they want to have a double ring ceremony. And I had to back off, and you don't know what $50 was worth then. But where, what, when? All right, this is the Rav. Could you imagine that topic? Could you imagine? You look at YU today. Know who am I talking about? Rabbi Meir, fill in the last name, Ellie. Meir Yaakov Soloveitchik. Do you see the topics he speaks about? The man is the last surviving person walking the face of the earth who believes in the greatness of the United States, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, freedom to all. If he'd be marching with Martin Luther King today, absolutely, I'm willing to bet you on it. Does he cross the line? Doesn't he? He's a Soloveitchik. He's solid. His wife, believe me, she keeps him in line. Fabulous people. But this is the challenge. And here's the Rav. You're talking the late 30s. You're talking the 50s. What went on in Israel? Oh, wow. How do I know I'm right? Yitzchak, wave the volume you have. Let the class see it. This is Rabbi Rachman's famous volume. One Man's Judaism. What issue? Do you have the first edition or the second in front of you?
Second
is very important. You'll see why. Okay. One Man's Judaism. Renewing the old and sanctifying the left. Sanctifying the new, excuse me. Absolutely. Now, the original volume, I believe, was published in the early 70s. I remember when it came out. The second volume, which is more important because it also has articles that he wrote afterwards, and he's already not afraid to hide his feeling, Jewish Week, the second volume came out on Rabbi Rachman's 90th birthday, 2000. Yitzhak went through the volume, and he doesn't even realize that yours truly is alluded to in the volume. And I'll reach it. I'll show you where. You can cross out what's written and fill in my name. I'm pretty sure. Now, look at page 394. Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, page 394, right in front of your eyes. Rabbi Joseph B., and you got to remember, and again, I want to go back a little bit in history and understand me well. The Rav was not born the Rav. Artscroll is tragic in its history books because it gives you the feeling you're born a Gadol B'Yisrael at the age of 3, your kippah never falls off. You all know Rabbi Hutner's comment in A Moment of Honesty, it's in Pachat Yitzchak. Everyone talks about the greatness of the Chafetz Chaim, but no one talks about what the Chafetz Chaim went through, the challenges to become who he became. The Rav comes to America uncalled, unsought. The job that he came to have in Chicago was taken away from him. He goes to Boston. He's treated like absolute dirt. You don't know what the man suffered. There were some families that were kind to him. Other Balabatan made a little money. They looked at this wise guy, young guy, and adamant. And you all know Yitzhak will tell you the story of Birchat Kohanim when Yontif fell on Shabbos and what they did to the Rav. You have to understand that. It was so bad and so aggravating with the Kashrut scandal that in 1944 the Rav almost left Boston and New York to go to Chicago to become the Rosh Yeshiva of Hebrew Theological College, what you call Skokie today. But you see, the Rav came to New York. And now he's had his ups and downs. And by the way, this explains the Rav's personality. When I learned in Lakewood, there was always criticism of the Rav. Why? Among other reasons, he didn't take public stands. Rav Aaron, synagogue council, board of rabbis. Rav Aaron went public. And the Rav, never took public stands. They didn't understand that life taught the Rav, the less machloikis, the healthier machloikis accomplishes nothing. I have a letter from the Rav telling me exactly, don't get involved in machloikis, it accomplishes nothing. The Rav suffered, came to YU, I'm not allowed to say what the students called him. You can go, come back in my time machine, in my office I have that time machine, you sit down in it, you put on two pairs of tefillin at once, Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, and you tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, take me back to 1941. Go into the time machine, go back to 41, sit in the classroom, and you'll hear what the students, how they call the Rav when they walk out of the classroom. Someone, a very important person who knew the Rav from the 40s, used that term to me a few months ago in Yerushalayim, and I had to ask Malka to tie my hands, I shouldn't slug him. All right, but now the Rav from that little classroom becomes the Rav. Understand? He's the Rebbe, he's teaching students, and YU is getting them the top minds in America. You've got to remember, from all over the United States and Canada, it's the top yeshiva. Nothing compares to it in the early 40s. And they're coming, and they appreciate, and they understand, and the Rav becomes the Rav. Rabbi Rachman and many other rabbis can be very famous and can accomplish a great deal, but the world looks to the Rav, talks about the Rav. Everyone else is very secondary. If I can make a simple, foolish analogy, when I go back to my years of baseball, DiMaggio, Musial, Williams, and Greenberg, no one else enters with those big four. The Rav is the Rav. All right, there's Rav Moshe, there's Rav Aaron Cutler now, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky starts to play a role, but the Rav, you can't escape him. Whoever you are, you want to have the Rav on your side. If you don't have the Rav on your side, you're not legitimate. And this is Rabbi Rachman speaking. Rabbi Joseph E. Soloveitchik, in coping with some problems of Jewish family law, resorted to history in fulfillment of its commitment to the equality of husbands and wives in the marital relationship. And you see, the modern man, husband and wives, this is not the world in which the Torah was given. Our whole concept of marriage is totally different. What a man and woman want out of marriage is totally different. You should see all that's being written today, all the books, all the articles we read in the Haredi press and the Dati press. Man, woman, time, consult, question, answer, quote, honor. Who ever heard of these things 3,000 years ago? Today, make a cheshbon. Ellie, you got a lovely wife that she's willing to let you run away to go to graves in the Ukraine and in White Russia. Baruch Hashem. But you can't go on your own. And you're lucky she left. I write in my book, we went to the Sotnu Rav. Remember what I told you? The girls waited outside. That was in the early 50s. In 224, 223, believe me, the girls will smack our faces. If you go into the Satma, we go into the Satma. And it's even worse. They'll understand the Satma Rav better than us. They understand? They already have better minds. They're learning Shas, Paiskim, Zevan Fashten, ganz gut. We're standing there, Amayaritz, Yingalach. And what, Rabbi Sal, over a period of thousands of years, to equalize the status of men and women, when they approved of a corrective, what's the word here, which would benefit, I don't know if this is correct English, but I'm quoting, when they approved of a corrective, which would, is it good English? Maybe a corrective action. When they approved of a corrective which would benefit only husbands, he declined to participate in his youth. He would have approved the change if it could help when, and he's quoting the Rav now, the shoe was on the other foot. Yet since the value of equality was flouted in this change and the unmistakable historical process was shunned, he refused to take advantage of it. It should be of interest that in the first case involving a procedure enabling a husband to remarry when no such exit from the marriage was available to the wife, he was reacting as a modern and took a step forward in the historical process for the equality of sexes. What's he talking about? That the Rav refused to sign a Cheta Meir Rabbanim.
He said because of...
Hold on. 1 second. I just want to finish. Many rabbis could hardly believe that he took that position until it was ascertained that his lecture on the matter was taped. You follow? And he's telling it as it is. Jack, the Rav whetted his appetite. You see it or not? He come out of Gadol B'Yisrael. Halacha the Ein Morin came. All right.
He wasn't chayshish v'shem. They see the way you pass him this way. Oh, it shows its equality. I mean, he went because he's worried about.
So what the Rav is saying is the interaction of the Western world with Torah, where can we accommodate and where can we say Atkan? Where is the Gavul? Where is the line? Korach, everything I spoke about last week or the week before, Korach Vadato, Chalat Shatula Pchelet, but you can see how when I said the Rav whetted their appetite. Okay, now, the story of Hafkad Kedushin, let me give you a little bit background here. That Hafkad Kedushin exists is an absolute fact. Anyone who learned Gemara knows that it exists. There are five different cases in Rakafar Aaron Chelik Dalad. It's all there. All there. But can we apply the cases Zman Hazeh? Can we use the concept? And can we use the concept beyond the narrow confines of the cases in Chazal? I need not tell you there is a world of literature on the topic. I would summarize it very simply. When you look at Chazal, wherever there's retroactive annulment of marriage, there always was a get. The problem was that the get was void, not valid. The classic example is the Gemara in Gittin, the Sugya Lamed Gimel, Lamed Bet. The classic example where the man sends a get on the day shaliach, and while the shaliach is delivering the get, he has to travel from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv. The man tells his friend, maybe one, maybe two, I'm playing games there with Tosfos right now, but you'll see it in Rakafar Aaron Chelik Dalet, he's mevatel the get shelo b'fnei ha-shaliach, shelo b'fnei ha-isha, the gam shelo b'fnei beitin, so that there's no way the wife is going to know when she gets the get from the shliach that this get has absolutely no value. So she remarries. She has a get. She has three children with the second husband. The man then puts up paskvilas all over Yerushalayim, Bnei Brak, the Haredi Press, Borough Park. I saw unbelievable. I took a picture. I showed it in class. The size of the building, the side of the building, putting a man in Chayrim for not giving a get. Suddenly you see a sign on 13th Avenue and 44th Street in Borough Park. this woman is an adulteress, the children are mamzerim, and he brings Eidut Nemana that he was Mavatl the get Shalobafaneh, Shalobafnei Ashliach, Shalobafnei Abbeitin, but nevertheless, it's his prerogative to be Mavatl the get. He created the get. Also, if you've ever seen the way a get is written, the man has to say, write the get, Lishmo, Lishmo, Lishem Gerushin, etc., etc. And he took his...
Why does he have that right?
Because he created the get. He created it. He can annul it.
He, once he wrote it, he lost that ability.
No, he loses the ability when the get is delivered to her. The fact that there's a get in the world means nothing until it's delivered to her. But there's no question the get only becomes a get when it is delivered to her. You can't just write a piece of paper. There are guys who write gittin and they frame it, and whenever their wife acts up, they say, be careful. You see what I have for you? I'll take it out and give it to you. You understand? It's nothing. It's a joke.
No, he did this in front of a beit din.
Right.
It's not a joke.
But he has to give it to her in front of a beit din.
Right. So the mesira doesn't start with the...
The mesira only can take place from his hand to her hand. He makes the shliach his shliach, so the shliach has to give it to her.
So he made the shliach the shliach. It's already now no longer in his reshut.
No, it's not in her reshut. It's out. He's still the Baal. The shliach is subject to the Baal. The Baal is the one. It hasn't reached her hand yet. All right, you'll look at the Gemara. You'll see. I don't want to be...
So what stops any husband from doing that?
So Yitzchak, well, I'll tell you again a story I told you about five times over the last 20 years. But hold on for 1 second. But you see... Look into Rakafat Aaron, sit without the radio on, without any news disturbing you, and just read what I wrote and go through the sources. All the instances where there's retroactive annulment of marriage, though I'm weighing every syllable, there was always a get. But the get had a problem. So the Meiri learns, and most Rishonim learn this way, by retroactive Hafkat Kedushin, the rabbis will machshir the get. But when there's no get at all, you can't really retroactively annul kedushin. The other cases in the Gemara happen b'shas maisa. You beat the woman to accept kedushin, the rabbi spit in your face and say, you makadash ishal al dat rabbonim, the money you gave her is hefka, the biyat abiyat snut, you're not married. But a retroactive annulment, there you need a document. And it's very hard to say you can do this, may I use a pedestrian word, wholesale. And this is the conflict. See, Rabbi Rachman took this concept and elongated it as if we can do it mass production. And the Rav was very upset. Now, when the storm broke, and believe me, it's not a good feeling for Rabbi Rachman to have the Rav negate him, abrogate him, nullify his thinking in public. And Rabbi Rachman then said, well, the idea did not begin with me. I am quoting Professor Menachem Elon. And if people want to disagree with me, you have to agree with Menachem Elon. You have to disagree with Professor Menachem Elon, who was a much more authoritative figure than Rabbi Emanuel Rachman. Now I'm going to pause here. I just want to tell Yitzchak. Yitzchak, do you remember the story with the Rav? 1957, I believe it was, 58 perhaps. The Rav came into class Tuesday, ready to give shiur. And we sensed he was very disturbed. You know, we were smart students. We were not dummies. To learn with the Rav, you had to be the best of the best. You had to have guts. Because he was a tyrant. You all know the memoir literature. We're talking the 50s, the 60s. I'm not talking the 70s. The 80s was laughable. guys sitting in the Rav Shir just to boast to their girlfriends that they study with the Rav. Dov, I'm not here to you in the 60s, right? But you in the 70s. So, all right, there was less, you know, the tension we had. Oh, my. But we were, read Washington, what that idiot Rakefet writes there in Chutzpah, that no other Rebbe in the world can teach him except the Rav. Right? Smack his face. But that's Chutzpah. A kid has Chutzpah. So we said to Rebbe, what's he? We said to him, something's, Epis is Baraik Nisht Basay behind. Something is not in order. So the Rav let his hair down. You weren't in the class yet, perhaps.
No, the
Rav let his hair down. And he told us a story. We were sitting there shaking. This girl who went to Maimonides, a family close to the Rav, she went away to university. All right, a young girl, 18. She then gets involved with a boy there. The family was very upset. The girl is too young. The boy didn't meet their standards. Whatever. I didn't know the girl. I didn't know the boy, so I can't have an opinion. And they pleaded with her not to marry yet. She's too young to make such a decision. And she didn't listen. And lo and behold, a year later, she comes back to Boston. The greatest mistake I ever made was marrying that boy, that Umglik, that Oisvaf. You know, love is love. And then when love disappears, they're maledicting each other, cursing each other. Unfortunately, I've seen it too many times in my life. I wish I hadn't seen it so many times. But that's the reality of the world in which we live. I always think, if you heard my lectures on divorce many years ago, remember I quoted a medrash that you marry in decency and you divorce in decency. Don't embarrass yourselves before the world. I quoted a medrash. So the boy says, no gitti, no tiki, no washi, like the Chinaman says, no ticket, you don't get your wash back, no money, no gitti. So they finally settled on a sum, I don't remember the exact, well, let's say $10,000, an exorbitant sum, let's say $5,000, we're talking money mid-50s. So, of course, the boy will not take a check, of course, you can cancel the check. So they gave the Rav $5,000 or $10,000, you don't know the story? In cash, gave him in cash. And the girl, the stupid girl, refused to come to the divorce. She doesn't want to look at the, I don't want to use the word she used, the, it's a big B, doesn't want to look the B in the eye. So she didn't come to the divorce, so they had to give it al yadei shliach. Now it turns out that this kid in his youth had studied in a Talmud Torah and learned Gemara. He learned and he remembered something out of Gittin. And he went, the shliach is now bringing the get, he went into a shtibl in Dorchester with a shtiblach there or something, catches a Jew sitting learning, and he comes in crying. And he tells them, I made a bad mistake. They all spoke Yiddish. Their parents spoke Yiddish to them. The kid says, I'm so sorry I divorced my wife. And he tries or did lebitul haget, shalobifnei ha'isha, shalobifnei ha'beitin, shalobifnei ha'shliach, in front of one or two people. And now the girl gets the get. The boy disappears with the $5,000, $10,000 in cash. Shalom al Yisrael. And then he tells the world, check in the Dorchester Beis Medrash where Yitzchak's father davens. You'll find out I went in there with Mavatel to get. Don't fly a kite. She has no get. And I have the money. No? Yitzchak, do you understand now why the Rav was upset? So we asked Rebbe, was for time with us? You know, what will be the outcome? So he told us, this is Rakefet telling what he heard with his own ears. Ich hab durchgemacht das Sugya, und ich hab gefunden, et nicht getan als richtig, und ich schreibe at Shuba, Mathe sein, as the get is given a get. I went through it, I found out, he didn't say the right language, we were Today I would say, Rebbe, spell it out. What are you talking about? Today I know a little bit how to learn. Then we were kids. We sat there. And the Rebbe says, in Ich Schreiba Tshuva, I'm writing a tshuva. Lahatir, the get and the girl can remarry. But it's been ibegerasht mit dem Meisa. How do you translate that? Dove translated. It's been ibegerasht. I'm overwhelmed. Now, Yitzchak, did you ever see the tshuva? If you can come up with that tshuva, my friend, you will be worth, I would say, not much, $1 million would come your way to publish that tshuva. We have never seen it. Does the tshuva exist? Does Chaim have it? I don't know. I don't know. Did the Rav, it would seem to me he would have to write a tshuva. Do we? No one ever saw it. But that's exactly what we're talking about. Under such circumstances, that's a classic example of the Gemara and Gittin come to life. And that's the tremendous question. Can we say retroactive beetle of marriage? What type of Beit Din? What type of central authority? But wholesale, just in general, 7 years they were married, 3 children. And the lady is sick of the animal. He doesn't make a living. He doesn't go to work. I had a case like this. Lo aleinu, I had an exact case like this. Guy davened late, became Hasidish, put on 2 pairs of tefillin. He never went to work. How are you going to support a wife and family? And then he wouldn't give a get. He was embarrassed. How dare you speak against God? Finally gave a get. There's a full half-page ad in Jewish press apologizing to him, and then he finally gave the get. He's the only Talmud of mine I ever had arrested. Dov, do you understand what I just said? I can show you right where. You know where the Svadik Beis Medrash is? He was teaching. I had the police stand outside, warrant for his arrest. He walked out at the end of class. Zoom. But the girl went back to America. It was a terrible mistake. And it's just what happened in jail. I said he's going to become a Rebbe for all the Sfadim in jail. Read Meikahana's, about Meikahana's life, his memoirs. Look, I kept it though. You understand what I'm saying? The Sfadim loved him. And he remained in jail till Erev Pesach. She went back and they let him out. They did what they did then. Today they would do more. They throw him into solitary till he gave a get. But it's a terrible problem, Yitzchak. It's not simple. That Rabbi Rachman was motivated by good circumstances? Absolutely. But this is halacha, this is eshet ish. And remember, Yitzchak, what the Rav said. Why do we need the last 2 prakim of Yevamot? Why did Rakefet, I've gone through, I wouldn't say much, could even be 1,000,000 pages already in responsa literature in Heter Aguna. Look at Rakefet Aron Chelik Gimel. Look at Otsa Poiskim Chelik Gimel al Chelik in Tul Chelik Chet. If you couldn't say Avkod Kedushin, the man is missing 10 years, let the wife remarry. Okay. Now let me go one step further. But Jack, do you understand my hesitancy? And now I'm showing you Rabbi Rachman. It doesn't make me happy to show you this machloike that he takes on the rug that he's hurt. Yomo, go outside and please tell them not to do any. Tell them not till 10:40, 10:45. Okay, now, Menachem Elon. Who is Professor Menachem Elon? And this is very important. May I quote Aaron Rakefet to you? Yeshivat Hebron is one of the few places in the world that cannot boast about its greatest graduates. Who were the greatest graduates of Yeshivat Hebron? Chaim Herzog, future president of Israel. Shlomo Goremchik, future chief rabbi of Israel. And Menachem Elon, the future assistant head of the Supreme Court in Israel. To have known Menachem Elon was to know a prince of the Torah and modern life in modern Israel. Now I recognize one of his children created problems for us. Please don't judge the father by the child. No one, all the Gedolei Israel we've mentioned, we can go one by one and tell you problems with children. It's part of life. It's built into the agenda. No one, I've told you more than once, no one has a perfect life. The whole reason we can daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam is, we heard this from the Rebbe so many times, what's the word? Mimamakim karaticha Hashem. Each of us is b'mamakim. And we have to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have no other alternative. We have to plead with you to help us. And that's the reality of life. We have success, we have success. We have failure, we have failure. It's built in to the human frailty, the human existence. I would say it's ontological. So please try to understand Menachem Alon. Menachem Alon was a Chevron Yeshiva boy, a tremendous mind, a gong in the full sense of the word. And he went on to become a lawyer, a jurist, a judge, ultimately the Supreme Court. If you want to know who Menachem Alon was, you take his most classic work, Mishpat Ivri. I have the original edition. It was in 3 volumes. I knew Menachem Alon personally. I can even tell you more. I was just talking about him with Sam Dershowitz this morning. He lived literally half a block away, if maybe even less than half a block away, from the original BMT on Rehov Abarbanel. And occasionally, when he was free, he'd come into my classes. All right, whatever my classes were then, I think I was teaching Jewish history. That's what they got me involved with. They didn't, 69, they had, Rabbi Horowitz had I write about it in Washington. Rabbi Horowitz's hang-up was that every Rebbe has to have a beard and Bekesher and be black, and for other classes you have wise guys with kippot srugot. So he used to come to my classes. So I went, oh, I said, Professor Alon, why do you come to my classes? What can I give you? He said to me, you don't understand. We've heard so much about Rav Soloveitchik. We've never met him. At least we want to see what his students are like. And he would come, and we became quite friendly. I was invited to, I remember his daughter got married, or son got, whatever. Malka and I were at the wedding, and it was just a pleasure to know him. Now, the Mishpat Ivri, I'll tell you what's so great about it. I don't know how familiar you are with Chaim Chernowitz's work, with Weiss's work, a lot of the maskilim who were Talmidei Chachamim, and lawyers, had a legal approach, got involved in writing about Torah Shebal Peh. Whatever they wrote, you will always find some conservative thinking. There's a Chaya Frankel, others. There's a development. If you know what, I can't go into it now, but you recall my lectures decades ago on conservative Judaism. Everything developed during the time from Matan Torah till today. All these principles, to quote the famous responsum, permitting riding to shul on Shabbos, driving to shul, driving was not around at the time the Torah was given, so certainly it cannot be forbidden by the Torah. It's not an issue of the right, the combustion of an engine. Well, if you speak like that, it eradicates the entire Torah Shabbat path. What's amazing about Menachem Alon's work is that over 1,000 pages, 3 tremendous volumes, the history, the principle, the whole toldot, makorot, ekronot of Torah Shebal Peh, turning it into Mishpat Ivri, modern language, it is totally in consonance with the halachic tradition. It is fabulous. And there's no way you can study Mishpat Ivri, taking the halacha and putting it into a modern contemporary legal system without using Rabbi Dr. Menachem Alon's work. It is second to none. All right? Translated into English. How many volumes in English? 4 volumes. And among the translators, his granddaughter, Professor Sykes' granddaughter, is married to my grandson. You follow? I'm with my the Sykes family and my family. We're machatan, and I share with them great grandchildren today. I just lovely great grandchildren. Kanayin hara. But all right, coming back here now, in Mishpat Ivri, Let me cite it to you. What is Rabbi Rachman talking about? You see, he didn't cite this in public. When he gave his talk, and this too you have to know, and this is a sad factor of life, something I learned from what happened in 75 taught me something. I never want to speak in public if it's a controversial topic and I don't have a proper time slot. You can't, if it's a stam to say Torah is beautiful and living Torah life is magnificent and chves, dancing on Simchas Torah is inspiring, all right, that's fine. But if you're getting involved in something with lumdis and something that might be controversial, I'm not that I'm ashamed to take my position. Dov, I'm not ashamed of my position, of my thinking, but I want time to explain myself. You want to differ with me? Understand what I'm saying first. Don't differ with me because, hop, plop, I didn't have time to explain myself. And Baruch Hashem, I don't say in Lakewood and in Chabad and elsewhere, they agree with me. Not at all. But they understand me. They respect me. All right, this man has a point of view that is legitimate. It's like a big Rosh Yeshiva met a Talmud of mine, and he was talking to him on the plane. What, your Rebbe's Rav Raketet? And this Rosh Yeshiva says to him, you should know, I don't agree with your Rebbe's Hashkafa. But as far as his love for Torah, no one like him. And my Talmud called me all excited. I said, all right, he's an honest man. Good. Now, what happened in 75, I think I told you. The RCA convention, it reached Rabbi Rachman very late. Rabbi Rachman spoke, if I recall correctly, it was after 11 o'clock at night. He had to be brief. It caused a tremendous storm because he never quoted Professor Alone that night. And he's probably correct that. Had he quoted Professor Alone, the Rav perhaps would have related to it a little bit more in context with halachic understanding. But here in writing, Yitzchak has the volume in front of him. Who does he quote? Time and again. Who did my idea come from? Professor Menachem Alon. Well, I challenge you, he doesn't give the source. Where do you find Menachem Alon? Gentlemen, this is the source. Mishpat Avrim, Menachem Alon, the original printing. So it's Chelik Sheni. I have a feeling that when they printed it afterwards, Mishpat Avrim is in two volumes in Hebrew today. I think I'm right. I have the original, three volumes. It's in volume 2, page 711. And yes, Menachem Alon has given, when he deals with the Ekronot of Mishpat Avrim, he's given a long, long discourse on Hafkat Kedushin and traced it to a certain degree. He quotes Avram Chaim Friedman. Now, do you recognize the name Professor Friedman? I make believe you recognize that name, Eli, so the ignorant will pass for the wise. Do you know what Rechov Ayin Chet is in Romema? Ayin Chet, you've heard of the Rechov, Yonatan? No, 78. Dov, what does it mean, Rehob 78? What, they're teaching us to count? 78 Jews were killed on the convoy to Mount Scopus. Remember, Mount Scopus remained in Israeli hands, and to go up there, you had to go through the Jordanian area, and they were supposedly allowed to be escorted by UN and whatnot, and one time the Jordanians jumped on the convoy, they killed 78 people, among them the finest medical doctors, the finest nurses going up to Mount Scopus, the finest Talmidei Chacham, the final professors. Professor Avraham Chaim Friedman was killed. You know who he was? A graduate of Hilda Seminary, who knew Kol HaTorah Kula, who was professor at Hebrew U. He put out, the first one to put out Tshuva Tarambam, 1935, in Hebrew. He put out Tshuva Rab Avraham Ben HaRambam. And he put out a volume on Siddur Kedushin Unesuin. It is the greatest volume ever if you want to understand what marriage is about halachically, tracing all the response of literature. Professor Alon quotes them extensively. And then on page 712, Professor Alon says, Look, throughout the ages, many proposals were made to use Hafkat Kedushin in various ways. Some of you will say to me, what about Professor Berkowitz, his famous proposal with the 3-day Eish? For me to explain that now would take me back 40 years when I spent half a year in class explaining it. It was a sfeika. Beautiful proposals. Halachically, probably could never be used in modern times, because in order to put into an effect, the chatan and kala have to be talmid chacham, have to know what you're talking about, have to agree. It's a proposal, it's a condition. Ribbono shel olam, you know what I had in the rabbinate? I was masada kedushin, I was a stupid idiot. Repeat after me. Hare, hare, at, at. Mekudeshet, mekudeshet. Say li. I should have said li, and he'll say li. It's obvious they're not marrying me. No, you say li. The guy says, he's saying Chinese. They him. Mekudeshet, say li. Say li. No, you say li. Who we got that straightened out. Ribbono shel olam, you're going to go with a sveik sveik a yomo. But anyway, it's very fascinating halachically, the proposals, the svadim, the Ashkenazim. But one thing came out of it, that it doesn't get off the floor unless you have a focal, central, respected basin. You can't have a world in which some rabbanim say the kid is a mamza, and the other rabbanim say the kid is a kohen gadol, he's not a mamza, receive him, welcome him, kiss him, accept him. We can't have a world like this. It's not kashrut. Kashrut, what I eat doesn't affect what Dov eats. What Dov eats doesn't affect someone in Tel Aviv is eating crabs and the locusts right now. Zalazayin gesund, enjoy. Locusts could be kosher if he's Taimani, I don't know. It's not Shabbos. I can dance on Shabbos. I had such nachat the Shabbos. I was together with 4 great-grandchildren. And my grandson Davin Mincha Avzan Nusach, I said, "Ah, where did you get that from? I can't even carry a tune." And this kid, Baruch Hashem, and he called Marcus, said, "Boy, Saba came home raving." Yeah, he says, "I know." He was very happy with the way I davened the Nusach, the Yatzmach Pukenei, the Karev Nishitei. Beautiful, beautiful. No, and as someone in Tel Aviv is Mechalel Shabbos, Zolchlen, Neil, Velet, and Treifot, and Yom Kippur, and takes a bread and posts it on Cholomoy Pesach and eats it with Chazah, what's the problem? He can do what he wants. I have freedom of choice. Bechata b'chayim. Marriage, divorce, affects every Jew. Because you can be walking along the street, you're a grandchild, and he sees this nice girl, and he starts up with her, and lo and behold, she's a mamzeret. God, it's terrible. So Menachem alone says, look at page 712, that now we have a state of Israel. Now we have a focal beitin. Now we have a chief rabbinate. Now perhaps we can make takanot, and we can employ some aspects of Hafkat Kedushin. Rabbi Rachman, of course, quotes this, but Rabbi Rachman took it much further. Not a focal basin, not a central basin, not a chief rabbinate basin, and by the way, Halavai, the chief rabbinate and the system of but they didn't hear would be universally accepted. I need not tell you we have a long way to go. The Haredim, the Datiyim, years ago when I came to Israel, the Haredim spat at the chief rabbinate. Tradaday, Chiloniyim, Datiyim, Mizrachistim. Today the Mizrachistim spit at the chief rabbinate. What are they, Haredim, Avasai? Look what's going on with Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, with the comments, with the Russians. All right, believe me, the chief rabbis could use public relations individuals, all great rabbis. The Rav too could on occasion use, believe me, public relations when you shoot from the hip, corn syrup, Pesach, Bartons, what went on. It's been not simple to be a Talmud Chacham and Adam Gadol and know you have knowledge, and then you shoot and the people jump on you, a fanatic, and all right. All the Rabbi Rankman took it and took it much further. But when Rabbi Soloveitchik criticized him, he defended himself. And one of the defenses, what are you criticizing me? I got the idea from Professor Menachem Alon.
Yeah, Menachem Alon got the idea from both the band.
No, Menachem Alon, the idea, you don't have to get from anyone. It exists in Shas and Chazal. But he, Menachem Alon, Professor Alon, quotes Professor Freiman because time and again, you go back to Professor Freiman's book, it's the treasure chest of all the responsa literature on the topic of marriage, organized chronologically and organized according to countries. That volume has been published and republished by Mossad Rav Kook. If you don't have it, Yitzchak, it's worthwhile purchasing it. What a piece of work. What a tragedy that the man was killed so young in his prime. God have mercy. Greatly affected his family. Those of you from the Upper West Side, if you recall, a Dr. Freiman, a medical doctor, that was a younger brother of Professor Freiman. Those of you from Yeshiva University, you know Professor Richard Steiner, the name mean anything for you, Bernard Revel Graduate School, the man who deciphered Richard Steiner is a genius of geniuses. And he deciphered the papyrus in Egypt, it was front page of the New York Times, he got YU in the 70s, million. So he has a brother who's also a genius, Mark Steiner. He teaches, they taught at Hebrew U, mathematical logic, a genius. These guys, you can't even talk with them because they're floating in the air. If not for their wives, they would float away. But they're both married to fabulous girls. Mark Steiner's wife is a Freiman. Her great uncle was Professor Avraham Chaim Freiman. Okay, to make it real, Rachel Freiman, she worked at Hebrew U, the library. Rachel Freiman. Steiner, that's the niece of Professor Freiman. Let me go one step further. We'll continue next week. I'm not happy about this, Jack, because I have to show you what happened here. This is a real machloket l'shem shemayim, but you're dealing here. And remember, we're coming out of the ghetto. How far do we go? When does the rubber band pull us back in? Where do we draw the line? And each and every one of us has to deal with this. I told the story yesterday in class with Fawlty Towers. Knew somebody, you watch Fawlty Towers, John Cleves, what's his name? Am I saying it? Cleves, well, John, is it the first name? Cleves, a genius. The guy in Fawlty Towers, you know, the Yiddishkeit. The waiter, Sanchez, no? That's, you know how he made a living? Speaking at shul dinners, we get the 5,000 sterling a shot. I've heard many different stories, no longer alive. The guy who, if you've seen Fawlty Towers, the waiter, the Spanish waiter, who's always getting his head bopped off, he's a German Jew, his parents running away from Hitler. Get to England. There was another one too, a famous actor who just died. Also a Jew, he's married to a Goya, his wife was furious at his grandmother who would never accept her. God, the assimilation, the intermarriage, the kinder transport, this guy became an actor. So I've heard various stories. One story I heard was he was a Kohen, he gave a Bichat Kohen. Another story I heard was only his father was Jewish, not his mother. But one thing I know is a fact, when I was in England there was a big shul dinner, and he was the guest speaker Saturday night. I said, "How do you? What's a Talmud Chacham?" He said to me, "Rabbi, you don't understand. We need a speaker who will attract the crowd. This is our biggest fundraiser for the year. when he speaks, you can't believe the crowd that's going to come. The star from Fawlty Towers. Now, where do you draw the line? Are you allowed to watch Fawlty Towers? Are you allowed to imitate? You don't even understand what I'm saying. We were imitating, don't mention the war. The Germans are coming. That is so powerful. Then there's the story there with the two psychologists, with the doctor and doctor, the man and his wife are both medical doctors, and there's Fawlty on the floor, and he can't, a woman, a doctor. I mean, this is early 70s. A woman, a doctor. He's gone out of his mind. It's like Archie when the doctor walks in and he's an Afro-American. Archie Bunker goes crazy. No, you're allowed. This is interaction of culture. My student, Rabbi Dr. Norman Amsel, makes a living out of giving shiurim. He's now giving a whole series at the OU Center on what we can learn from television. What part of television can we dedicate? Can we see it's halakhically correct? What part do we have to reject? These are fabulous questions. I'm not saying schmutz. Schmutz is schmutz. But
he takes movies, right, and uses them as a trigger.
Right, right, right.
It's amazing.
Right, right. No, and so what did I just do? I took the scene with Fawlty on the floor and the two psychologists, and they say this is enough for a convention. Just to analyze him in the way for two conventions, but. There's so much to analyze there. The Germans are coming. The Nazi. Today in England, I don't know if they know what they're talking about. It's 40, 50 years later. Who knows the Germans? Who knows World War II? It would play big in Israel, and it would play big in Russia. In Russia, they still suffer from what the Germans did to them. Millions upon millions killed, the war, the effort. But this is a very delicate question. We started off an hour and a half ago with Jack's question. Who has more success? Why you or Landa College? Why you or Machon Lev? No. You want to study electro-optics? Go to Landa. Go to Machon Lev. You want to study English literature? You got to go to YU. Do we tell someone don't study English literature? Right, that's a very delicate question. Do we have a right to take a student and tell them no? I don't know. My life, I let all my children and grandchildren, whatever you wanted to study, I encouraged. One grandson said to me when he finished Hezda, I don't know what to do. I said to him, look, to be a Rebbe is the most important thing in the world. Do you want to be a Rebbe? No, I don't. So I said, what did you do in the army? You were a Chovesh Kravi. You saw blood. You were in battle. Can you handle it? He said, yes. I said, so study medicine. P.S., it's many years later. He's a Ph.D. in biology, technion, big research in multiple sclerosis, and he's an M.D., Ph.D., M.D., you know? Can you say that? He has a brother. A fabulous Lamdan, Halavai, he would have become a Rebbe, all right. He'll get Pras Yisrael, but I can't even talk too much. I'm under a security clause because they showed his grandparents what the kid came up with for his PhD, and it has implication for every modern army in the world, etc., etc. I can go on and on. I don't want to talk anymore because it's enough. You speak about your grandchildren, keep your big mouth shut, and just let them go further and be matzliach and be good Jews. But it's a very delicate question. The Hasidic world understands there's not one answer, except they operate on a lower level. This one is in business, this one is in real estate. They do have today hundreds, if not thousands, of kids next door at Machon Lev. They do. And you have Hasidim today in law school. The Litvisher world until now has gone one way to go. But now they too are opening because it's the reality of life. But the minute you go into the big world, where do you draw the line? You saw the TV series on ladies, Beis Yaakov graduates, learning Gemara, a whole Beis Medrash learning Gemara. No, where do you draw the line? And then they're going to learn, they're going to come Lamdaniyat, they want to paskin. Can they paskin? All right, they can paskin a shai leftarat mishpacha. No, they want to paskin also yoredeya in kashrut, basa v'chalav. No, can they? Can't they? When I eat in your house, though, who am I depending upon? Your wife. Who's paskening the shilas for me? Then they want to paskin in Ebenezer. Artificial insemination. AID. You follow? We're struggling. It's not simple. And we need guidance to get the Lay Israel, no question. But I go with the sheet that the more people learn, the more they will understand what Torah is about. It's not something hefka, it's not something wholesale. It's surrendered l'dvar Hashem. But you have to understand what the format is. All right, we're not going to solve the problem. But we have.
If you have Yerut Shemayim, maybe she can't bust
it. I didn't say no. With Yoatzat Halakha, it has done wonders for Tarat Mishpacha. Do you know that many more women observe today because they can turn to women and ask their shailas?
That lady who, the Siyum Shas, whose father was a conservative,
right, and she
herself used the Torah and davened for the oven, that's not halakha.
But
she went through twice.
Yitzchak, that is why when I meet Rabbi Yerucham Gerelik or Rabbi Noach Bunchten, I'm going to have words with them. Okay? They'll smack my face, but I'm entitled to my opinion. Men dafavn a bissl chalent, a bissl warmkeit, was von geret nechten, die alte heim. By the way, the name of the person who paid for the documentary is Gold. Jack Gold. It came to me later. He's the man, survived, he's no longer alive. What a documentary. A people apart. Am I right, Jonathan? You don't know. It's on, by the way, it's on YouTube. People tell me it's readily available on YouTube. A people apart, and it's about Borough Park. There's a scene in there that is so moving. It's someone we actually were in the store. We know the lady. We met the lady. I remember this is 20 years ago. And it's in the 1990s, and she says she's amazed at her children growing up in Borough Park, how they can say no to her. And she says, we could never say no to our parents because we knew what they went through. But our children growing up here, let them say no to us. It's very powerful. Very powerful. Hard to believe the anti-Semitism in the world after Hitler. Hard to believe what's going on. Right? On the other hand, so many heads of state coming. They say it's the third greatest security problem Israel has ever had to arrange Wednesday, Thursday, Friday properly.
Can you imagine Stalin coming here?
Right. Putin coming here and coming here happy to help the Jews, cursing the Poles. It's amazing. By the way, he's right. The Poles were terrible to the Jews, not the Russians. I remember Batsheva Soloveitchik Hutna, Isha Gedola, remember her? Professor Shmuel Soloveitchik's wife, then widow, Shmed Rabbi Yeshua Hutna, my neighbor till the day she died, our great neighbors, Rabbi Yeshua Hutna and Batsheva Hutna. So I remember she said to me, she grew up in Russia, was so poor, Azei Orim, nothing would think. And take a look, they became a world power. America's afraid of them. Sputnik. And she said to me, you know why? Because they never killed Jews. Anyone who wound up in Siberia, anyone who wound up in Russia, their lives were saved. You know, when Lithuania was between Russia and the Nazis, and they were deporting people who didn't want to Siberia, so the Jews were crying what the communists are doing to them, and they, the Chibinarov, survived. They all survived. If you had health, you survived. And anyone left behind was killed by the Poles and the Nazis. So let me reiterate, what do we do today? Yitzchak, I haven't reached the high point. I have a big, big surprise for you. All right? And I don't minimize my words, but not yet. We have to reach it in context. What did we do today? All right, this is the heart of the Rav and Rabbi Rachman. We're not finished with Rabbi Rachman. It's very interesting to see how he reacts to the Rav and to see some of the statements he makes later. And we'll trace Rabbi Rachman the fallout in modern terminology as well. And then we have a way to go and we'll reach the later machloket, Rabbi David Hollander and Rabbi Louis Bernstein. But that already is machloket on a much lower key than the Rav and
but
Rabbi Rachman.
Must have been gentlemen, because you never heard that Y.U., except for those who were in the inn, that Rabbi Rachman came out publicly against the Rav, or the Rav came out against Rachman. Even the Rav at the RCA, although at the Rabbinic
YURA.
He didn't mention his name.
Right, yeah, but you got to understand one thing. We were living in Israel at the time. In New York, they told me there was a lot of tension. And you see, Rabbi, I'll show you Rabbi Rachman's reaction. You see, he moves more left, at least publicly. And I'll end off. This is why someone wrote to me who knew Rabbi Rachman very well, knew the family. He called his book, what's the name of the book, Yitzchak? One Man's Judaism. He recognized, and I'll show you this next week, he's a dat hamiyut. He's not the majority. And you'll see where he argues with a guy named Ani Rothkopf. Yes, Yonatan.
Did Rabbi Rachman discuss it privately with the Rav before he went public with it?
Well, you'll see his discussion with the Rav. Kiliyakayad, it happens. Eli, I want to give you a gift. Did you see this Friday's freebie? Okay, this Karov Eilecha, you should get it every week. See how you can subscribe, maybe it's online. This is geared for the Tzioni Dati world, for people like us who wear kippah sruga, who are big Zionists and love Torah, to bring a little Hasidus to our life. This is they just came out now with a new edition of Hillel Zeitlin's book. Here's a summary of his description of the life of the Alter Rebbe. It's excellent. Do you know who Hillel Zeitlin was? He died, Hitler, lo aleinu, or Hitler killed. If anyone wants, is there anyone new here who was not here yesterday? I have one more copy of this fabulous picture, which I hope I've identified correctly. Everyone is listening to me. It's very interesting. Magnificent picture. There's the Rav just told some joke. Everyone is laughing. There's Rabbi Gerstenfeld. You have no idea how important this picture is historically. What's said is, we'll never know who the other students are, because the early 50s, I don't believe many are alive. But that's Rabbi Fulda. That's the one person I feel I'm correct, and it was confirmed. There's a guy here that looks just like me. If it wouldn't be the early 50s, I would say that's Ani Rothkopf. What? Exactly my face. This is unbelievable. In New Jersey, they voted down the law to make vaccination obligatory. The Frum crowd in Jersey played a big role. I don't understand that. How anyone can be opposed to vaccination. It's mamish against the Torah.
Why is it that they are opposed?
I don't. They feel it can harm. I don't know. That's
this.
We work with medical research. It's like chisunim here. You know why they're going crazy? Get vaccinated because the percentages show much less people wind up in the hospital. So of course you might find the case. I had a very bad reaction this year to the vaccination. I was dizzy for 24 hours. Literally, if I turned my head this way, that way, I was totally dizzy. But Baruch Hashem, now I'm walking around laughing at the world. It's raining, it's snowing.
And it's a dangerous thing.
I agree, but that's the others disagree with me. Maybe Ellie can explain it.
I can explain.
Now, this is very interesting too. The former, there's a machlokes today between the present Pope and the previous Pope. I have two copies of the article. Very interesting. The present Pope is a Reformed Jew, and he wants to be matan having priests where you can't get any other priests who are married. And the previous Pope came out very strongly against him. Very interesting. This is a beautiful little article, if anyone grew up in Brooklyn, from the New York Times Metropolitan Diary. It brought back a lot of memories of the 1947 World Series and how these two Jewish kids boarded the F train on Church Avenue that was once filled with Jews, that was BTA was there, Central, at 3 a.m. and headed to Yankee Stadium. It was 5 cents cash then, no tokens. Got to the stadium, stopped at Needick's for a breakfast special, their famous orange drink, a donut and a cup of coffee, all for 15 cents. Waited until 10 a.m. when the gates opened, and they bought bleacher tickets for $1 a piece and watched the Yankees beat the Dodgers 5-3 in the World Series. This is very moving to me about the Rebbe and Professor Elmer Offenbacher, someone I knew so well, the AOJS, Association of Orthodox Jewish Scientists. You'll see the Rebbe's role. This is a document second to none. I have two copies here. I thank Nachum Shmayahu for digging it out of the joint archives. You can see the Dinei Nefashot of saving Mir Yeshiva and the opposition and some of the Reform rabbis who are the most famous Jews in America. They literally, I don't want to use the word, but Ritzicher could be on their hands. Very fascinating. Documents that don't lie. This court ruled that you cannot force a woman to accept the get. It's unbelievable. You gotta read the whole story here. But even her acceptance has to be the ratzon, and she cannot be forced. And the husband who's from can't remarry because she won't take a get. This is a very moving article that brought my wife and I discussed it. Echoes of the Soviet Jewry movement, how we marched, the rallies, and believe it or not, here we are back in America marching to save Jews, except this time it's not Soviet Jews, but the Jews in Muncie and Borough Park, Pittsburgh, and everywhere else. This is an unbelievable story. Second U.S. baby to be born from a dead donor's uterus is delivered. A woman without a uterus can't have a baby. Take a uterus from a dead woman, put it in, and deliver the baby. Among other questions, who's now the mother of the baby, etc., etc. Wow. This is a sad story, but it also deals with the problem that we're talking about in class, coming out of the ghetto. The chief rabbi of the United Kingdom was disinvited from the London event marking the completion of Shas. You know what I'm talking about? Why was he disinvited? Because he had issued a statement, a whole article, with a more accepting attitude of, I don't know what they called them, but homos, lesbians, transsexuals, God have mercy. Where do you draw the line? What can you say? And Europe is in the hands of the Haredi rabbinate, and they disinvited the chief rabbi. I don't know how smart that was. Mervis, raised in South Africa, studied here, Yirei Shemayim, Talmud Chacham, but where do we draw the line? The Kiddush Hashem at the London Siyum HaShas that he was disinvited from, how the police were overwhelmed like the police in New Jersey. Thousands of people, no one is drunk, no one is arguing, and everyone is saying thank you for protecting us. If you're Haredi in New York, be afraid. And what an article, you got to see it with, oh God have mercy. And I paskin halacha lemaisa, Yonatan Hertz has to take off his beard, his black clothes, walk around looking like a hobo, or a drunken Irishman, but it's a sakanat nefasha to wear a beard with black clothes. Michael Bloomberg is open to spending $1 billion to defeat Trump. Ellie, could you talk with him to give $500 million to yeshiva, any yeshiva? Oh my gosh. This is about parrots and how they teach them and how parrots can be taught selfless behavior to help another parrot. Very interesting. It's about what just happened in Egypt. They restored the historic synagogue in Alexandria, and then almost no Jews. I think three or four Jews attended. It's for tourism. No Israeli representative allowed. This is finally about I know the family. Oh, wow, is this interesting. This is about Avi Schroeder's lab at the Technion, Israel's Institute of Technology, is tiny but mighty, 30 researchers. And what he is doing, a genius, he will cure cancer and arrange better shrimp for people who want to eat it. But he's a frum guy, 100%. It's a different shaila. You're allowed to make shrimp available to guy to sell it. You know, much has been written at that shaila. Ellie, you own a ShopRite. You're dealing, and these are the rabbani. You're dealing with the Devar Masurim. Very interesting shaila. Treif meat. A lot has been written. Not so simple. You're making money out of it. All right, per se. A lot has been written. There's a low
pressure. Jewelry store in Washington Heights sell crosses?
No, that was the shaila that Manfred fooled his parents asked. And the answer was crosses, yes, crucifixes, not. They had a jewelry store in Washington Heights, and they were Germans and Frum, and they asked the shaila. A crucifix is a symbol of religion, no two ways about it. Aveda Zara. But a cross just shows identity. It doesn't have religious kind. It's like a mug and dovet. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
That's a question.
So, and tell me, these Jews that wear mug and dovets, I slap their face and say, take the mug and dovet off and put on a tzitzit. You want to be Jewish? You want both, but not a mug and dovet without an Abba Kamfis. Play with it. Play with it. The cross is also national light. That's what they pass from the halacha. I want to thank my dear students who honored me with their presence today. I looked at the weather, I looked at the rain, and I Professor Tarrigan is in the States. Charlie evidently couldn't get in from Rehovot. Who knows what the highways are like. And Vic is with his sister, who Lo Aleinu was sitting shiva for her son. So I have to thank those who wanted me with their presence, and I want to thank all those listening across the wide expanse of Jewish existence. And I hope I've been helpful in explaining this machloket, which anyone who comes out of the ghetto into the modern world, we're going to face that question, where do we draw the line? How far can we go? There's no black and white answer. But coming back to Jack's question, it's the individual who has to decide. I comforted my students who are all YU, rah, 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 mm-hmm. And their son is in Lander College. Another kid is in Rabbi Freifeld's yeshiva, Shayashev, Rabbi Yeager today, right? Am I right, Rabbi Yeager? And they're going to Touro, and there's a secondary education. I said, look, the kid is happy, the Torah is good, the Rebbe loves him, he loves the Rebbe. You can't ask for more than that. Nothing is more important than the Rebbe meeting him. You see that from all the memoir literature. I'm in the midst now of two volumes of memoir literature, Rabbi Yitzhak Nissenbaum and Rabbi Aryeh Bina. And one message comes across, the Rebbe you love. Ellie, until we meet again in health and happiness, regards to your wife, your in-laws, your mechatanim, your parents, your grandparents, until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vidanya. Dove, let me have your opinion after you see that.
Okay.
It shakes you up. It shakes you up. Yeah.
You went back and forth a little
bit. What did you say, Rav Rav Kefet? I never answered to that. Rebbe. Someone who learned Torah with me, it has to be Rebbe. Yeah. What are you asking me? Back and forth what? What are we talking about?
He was like...
What are you talking about?
Hill Zeitlin.
Oh, Zeitlin. No, he left Yiddishkeit and then he came back, a big Baal Teshuva. He was a great philosopher, great mind, and he became a great devotee of Hasidus, Chabad in particular.
And Breslov, right?
Breslov as well, but his work on the Alter Rebbe is classic. It's a man of depth that wrote it.
He has a full series now. Is that one?
And he has the one on Rabbi Nachman.
Very nice.
But was it written originally in Hebrew?
I don't know. It may have been written originally in Yiddish. Yeah, yeah, check it out. I doubt it. It'd be interesting to know.
Was he killed in the ghettos?
Yeah. He was killed in 1942. Yitzchak, do you know, did he write originally in Yiddish?
I think so.
It has to be checked. The chances are he wrote originally in Yiddish. But today, it won't go well. Anything in Yiddish has to be translated into English.
Is there anything in English for him?
Not that I know of.
Because I've been hearing about him. I wanted to check it out.
No, there's another
Solomon. No, Solomon, right.
He was